With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. So much had been written about novelist Truman Capote that writer Gerald Clark was sure that his planned biography of the great American author would take just 2 years.
He'd been interviewed and photographed more than any other writer of his generation, here or anywhere else in the world.
But Gerald Clark discovered that 12 years would pass before his biography of Truman Capote was finished. That was because Clark was waiting for an ending.
What I had to wait for didn't have to be his death. It could have had a happier ending. There were times that it appeared that he would pull out of the tailspin he was going through. For instance, in 1979, when he was writing Music for Chameleons, his last book, which I think is a marvelous book, he was quite sober.
Capote went on TV talk shows to deny his alcoholism.
People thought that I had some kind of a drinking problem, but I didn't. I had a very serious problem of these tranquilizers, and I could not stop taking, because if I did, my whole nervous system just went,
Despite the drinking and the pills, Capote cooperated with Gerald Clark during the early stages of the biography.
But we got into the habit of having lunch at Bobby Vann's in Bridgehampton, and he would then come back to my house, and we'd talk sometimes for 6 or 7 hours.
Truman Capote died in 1984, which gave Gerald Clark the unhappy ending to his vivid biography of an American original. Capote was published by Simon & Schuster. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Born as Truman Streckfuss Parsons in New Orleans in 1924, the writer Truman Capote, who adopted the last name of his stepfather, was largely abandoned by his parents and was raised in Alabama by aunts and female cousins. Capote spoke about his childhood many times.
My major regret in life, I suppose, is that I was an only child, and that my childhood was unnecessarily lonely.
Gerald Clark, author of a definitive biography of Capote, says fame came quickly to Truman, who went to private schools in New York and Connecticut. By his early 20s, Capote's short stories were receiving acclaim.
Fame is serious an addiction as cocaine or alcohol or coffee or cigarettes or anything else, and Truman became addicted to fame.
Gerald Clark came to know Truman Capote well and spent 12 years researching and writing his biography.
I would walk along the streets of Manhattan with him, and truck drivers and taxi drivers and other people would yell out the windows of their cars or their trucks or their taxis, "Hey, Truman! Hey, Truman!"
Clark says in a curious way, people identified with Capote.
They understood and recognized his vulnerability, and the vulnerability that they themselves have, that we all have. Truman was unlike anyone else in the world.
Truman Capote's sad, happy life is recounted by Gerald Clark in Capote, published by Simon & Schuster. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. The late Truman Capote was an elegant writer whose prose was notable for its clarity and style. Gerald Clark, author of a new biography of Capote, believes that Truman's nonfiction work, In Cold Blood, was his masterpiece.
It was an enormous success. Other books have sold better, but no other book that I can recall in recent history has had the impact of In Cold Blood.
In Cold Blood is the story of these six people, the Clutters, who died together November 15th, 1959, and Perry Smith and Richard Hickok, who were hanged April 14th, 1965. And my book is the story of their lives and their deaths.
Truman showed writers how they could write in a novelistic sort of way. It had been done before. He wasn't the very first to do it. He did it better than anyone else had done.
In Cold Blood gave Capote financial success, but Truman told Gerald Clark that the book scraped him down to the marrow of his bones.
After In Cold Blood, something snapped, and his gyroscope went out of whack.
Capote lost his society friends after writing embarrassing stories about them in Esquire.
He was like a child who was trying to see how much he could get away with.
Booze, pills hastened Capote's death at the age of 59. The story is told in Capote by Gerald Clark, published by Simon & Schuster. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. That the late writer Truman Capote was homosexual was obvious. Capote's biographer, Gerald Clark, says that while Truman did not hide his homosexuality, neither did he flaunt it.
He was lucky in that he never had an identity crisis. He never had to come out of the closet.
I'll tell you something else about fags, especially southern fags. Because southern fags are really mean.
When you meet a Southern fag...
Tell us about it. Come on, let's get going.
A Southern fag is meaner than the meanest rattler you ever met.
Gerald Clark was at a swimming pool with Capote in the early 1970s and had just read a chapter from a novel in progress in which Truman told stories out of school about his society friends.
And I recall saying to him, Truman, they're not going to be very happy when they read this. And he said, nah, they're too dumb.
Everybody knew I was doing this book. Everybody knew it. Everybody knew what the kind of a book it was. And there was no mystery there. I was not pretending or camouflaging anything at all.
All the high society people, all the international jet set types, with, very few exceptions, just dropped him instantly. And some of them were his great, great friends, like Mrs. Paley.
The trauma of losing his friends accelerated Capote's decline and death. Gerald Clark is the author of Capote, published by Simon & Schuster. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. Biographer Gerald Clark found it all but impossible to finish his book about Truman Capote, who was then still living, but in decline.
Every time I started going someplace, finishing chapters, something dramatic would happen. Truman would be in a hospital, he would suffer an attack, he would go on the offensive against some of his former friends, like Lee Radziwill.
This lady, you know, she calls herself a princess, because I always thought that a princess was the daughter of a king and a queen. You know, but she's not, but nevertheless, she calls herself Princess Lee Radziwill. That's her name. Well, I know she wouldn't want me telling you any of these things, but I just can't resist it somehow.
It got really bad for Truman Capote toward the end. For example, his sad appearance on the Stanley Siegel TV show.
I'd say on the whole, I get a bad, maybe 9 or 10 invitations every night.
Truman, can I ask you a question? How are you feeling now?
Sorry.
Would you rather continue this some other time? It's hot under these lights. We know you haven't been to sleep.
Doesn't bother me at all. I'm perfectly fine.
Can I ask you some serious questions?
Sure, you can go right in. I feel perfectly fine.
Have you been
fine.
Drinking?
You mean very lately?
Gerald Clark believes that Truman Capote will be remembered both for his life as well as for the elegance of his writing.
I think Truman will be regarded much as Oscar Wilde is regarded.
Gerald Clark, author of Capote, published by Simon & Schuster. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.